Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is Sunday, November 22nd. I'm your host, Rena Scherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. The week ahead will see investors once again weigh the brightening prospects for COVID vaccines against a surging pandemic in the U.S. and other parts of the world. A warning from J.P. Morgan on a tough winter of economic growth will also be in the background, along with any hints of progress on fiscal stimulus and what is likely to be more positive vaccine news. The earnings calendar includes intriguing reports from Best Buy and Dick's Sporting Goods, while the corporate event calendar slows down considerably. The release of FOMC minutes is expected to draw more attention than usual, with Fed members entering uncharted territory with their pandemic plans. In earnings news, Urban Outfitters and Warner Music Group report on the 23rd. Best Buy, Dollar Tree, HP, J.M. Smucker, Gap, Nordstrom, VMware, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Abercrombie & Fitch report on the 24th. Deere reports on November 25th. In IPO news, Russian e-commerce giant Ozone is eyeing a $5 billion valuation as it looks to raise close to $1 billion in an IPO that could price next week. Meanwhile, the lockup period expires for ADC Therapeutics on November 23rd, and the quiet period ends on Datto, Bio2Six, Gatto Silver, Galacto, Media Alpha, Leslie's, Root, Atea Pharmaceuticals, Lufax, and SQZ Biotechnologies. In M&A news, the filing deadline for Navistar and Trayton with the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. is on November 23rd. Shareholders with Mobil Iron vote on the Avanti deal on November 24th. The Black Friday Cyber Monday shopping holiday period is a new ballgame this year, with companies like Amazon, Wayfair, Target, Etsy, and Walmart already running deal events as early as October that are believed to have pulled some holiday sales forward. The focus next week may be on pricing, fulfillment, and delivery costs in what is sure to be a record-setting holiday year for shippers like UPS and FedEx. Internet high flyers like Overstock.com, Fiverr International, Farfetch, and Mercado Libre will also be watched to see how they fit into the holiday matrix. An early look at what to expect will come on the 23rd, when the National Retail Federation holds a media call to release its forecast for 2020 holiday sales. Best Buy, as we mentioned, reports Q3 earnings on November 24th before the market opens. Consensus estimates on Best Buy from Wall Street analysts are for revenue of $11 billion, EPS of $1.71, comparable sales growth of 13.6%, and operating margin of just over 5%. Key areas of focus for the earnings call will include Best Buy's early look at holiday trends and updates on capital allocation plans, given the company's substantial cash position. In stock split news, Tempur Sealy International is set to fire off a 4-for-1 stock split on the 23rd. CVR Partners is scheduled for a 1-for-10 reverse stock split on the 23rd as well. Also looking to boost its share price, Cedar Realty Trust will enact a 1-for-6.6 reverse stock split on November 27th. This week in Barron's mentions, the stocks and themes that draw attention from Barron's Weekly Edition, there is some caution this week on Kandi Technologies with the Chinese automaker's market cap surging to over $900 million. The company is aiming higher with the U.S. introduction of the K27 next month, but it's still working on plans for a nationwide distribution network. Simon Property Group gets a positive write-up. It's noted that Simon is using its unusual financial strength to buy both other mall operators and tenants at discounted prices. Five ETFs are singled out as nice picks to ride out a rebound in value stocks. American Century Stocks U.S. Quality Value under VALQ, Invesco S&P Small Cap Value with Momentum ETF XSVM, Invesco S&P Small Cap 600 Pure Value ETF RZV, Spider Small Cap 600 Value SLYV, and Vanguard Small Cap 600 Value VIOV all make the value list. The cover story runs down opportunities in international stocks: Moncler, Alibaba, Just Eat Takeaway, Ryanair, Taiwan Semiconductor, and Yamaha are some of the stocks that are seen as attractive by investment managers. This week, in our single stock focus, we're covering Pure Storage with Daniel Jones. The stock closed the week at just under $19. Jones begins here. One of the more interesting cloud-oriented companies in recent years has been Pure Storage, With a market cap of just $5 billion, the business is still fairly small and has a lot of upside. Though revenue growth has slowed this year, the company's history of expansion is undeniably attractive, and its ability to generate positive cash flow is encouraging, even as the firm's net losses continue. On the whole, Pure Storage is not a value play. Far from it. It does appear, though, to be an attractive growth prospect that's trading at a reasonable price for long-term investors to consider. Jones goes on, the global cloud industry represents investors with a large and growing opportunity over the next few years. This year, for instance, the market was estimated to be worth about $371.4 billion. The expectation is for it to continue growing at a rate of 17.5% per annum through at least 2025. By that point, the market should more than double in size of $832.1 billion. For the businesses that can latch on to this opportunity, the future should look very bright indeed. One such firm hoping to capitalize on this growing trend is Pure Storage. At its core, Pure Storage focuses on a couple of operating segments. The first and largest is its cloud data infrastructure unit. This includes both hardware and software solutions for cloud providers, enterprises, and other related parties. Subscription services are also integral to the company's operations. This area of the firm focuses in large part on IT and data needs. Over the past several years, Pure Storage has proven itself to be a true growth machine. One way to look at this is through the lens of customers added. Between the second quarter of the business's 2020 fiscal year and the second quarter of its 2021 fiscal year, the most recent quarter for which data is available, its customer count expanded from 6,600 to 8,150. That's an increase of 23.5% year over year. One thing that I wish I could report on as an improvement but cannot is Pure Storage's bottom line. This has been all over the place. However, in both 2019 and 2020, the bottom line worsened. For its 2020 fiscal year, Pure Storage saw a net loss of just over $200 million. So far for 2021, the results are a little changed, with the firm's net loss of $155.56 million coming in just marginally better than the $166.35 million seen in the first two quarters of its 2020 fiscal year. Jones continues, at first glance here, you may be tempted to run for the hills, but what matters more than net income is cash flow. If we examine this and how it has changed over time, the situation gets much more attractive for investors. Jones then concludes with this, based on the data provided, it seems quite clear that Pure Storage is an attractive growth-oriented play with a strong market opportunity. Ultimately, only the future will determine what happens, but if growth can continue at a reasonable pace, then the upside for shareholders cannot be understated. Overall, Seeking Alpha authors skew bullish on Pure Storage, with one very bullish, one bullish, and one neutral. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Alpha Trader, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Essay for FAs on those platforms as well. Have a great week.